Mr. Deuce, Reel 3. We're talking about when you joined the Royal Norfolk. So you just, after 6 weeks, I think, so that would be in February, you finished your course and then had a week's leave.
That's right.
What was your next move? Where did you go after your week's leave?
Had a week's leave. We came back to Britannia Barracks for, I'm not sure whether that was a week or a fortnight. Then we went on to Bury St Edmunds. To Blenheim Camp. Huts, they were.
Yeah. Who were you joining at Blenheim Camp? Was that a battalion, or what was there?
That was a continuation training. We had another 10 weeks of continuation training.
So that would be from sort of February through to April, end of April, or even May.
Yeah, in the May I think we were, when we finished our continuation.
And what were you doing on the continuation training?
Well, more of the same as what we were doing up here. But as we used to do more route marches out to, oh crikey, I can't think of the name of the place, at Denbury.
Yeah,
I know we used to go along towards Newmarket Road and then turn off right. I can't think of the name of it. But that was like an old wooded area. Like as if you were, but not so dense as a jungle. And we used to do a lot of training in them. Night, we used to do a lot of night exercises in the camp itself, but because they'd got a massive field they had down there.
Now, what were the night exercises like? Describe a typical one, if you can.
During the day, they used to go out and set the trip bars with trip flares on. And when they go off, no matter what position you're in, you're supposed to freeze into that position, you know. So it looks like a tree or a hedge, you know, a bush rather, and then, or if you're crouching down, it looks like an obstacle as long as you didn't move.
So you weren't to dive to the ground?
Pardon?
You weren't to dive to the ground.
Yeah, and there was a lot of those, and then as I say, we used to go to Finger and O for 3 days and two nights down there. We used to be down in Finger and O firing.
How do you spell that, sir? Just
fingering.
Fingering.
Ho. I ain't sure whether it's H. I think it's just H-O on the end. I'm not sure. It's down near Colchester.
But tell me about the marshes. What sort of thing were you doing at Finger and O?
Mainly night work. It was, you know, night firing. Parachute illuminating bombs. And
Weapon training
in general, you know, and then because there was no cookhouse, so you'd got to get your own breakfast in the morning. If you wasn't the chef, you still wasn't when you'd finished it. I starved. You got to fry it in your mess tins, you know. Then you've got to clean your mess tins because they were inspected afterwards. The only way to clean them is with sand or grit. You've got to dig a hole to find some. And nearly every time we were there, it was raining, so it was all mud.
So where would you sleep?
Dig a hole. Foxhole. Slit trench. Mind you, they were already dug because, you know, the people that had been there, that was a training ground, so we used there. Then some of them had to dig them. and just put an overcoat on and a ground sheet. And that was the night, wake all night.
And then what would you do in the day?
Then you had, as I say, you tried and cooked your own breakfast, everything was wet. And then during the day you'd got your weapons to all got to be cleaned. If we was coming back, everything had got to be packed up, waiting for the transport to come and pick you up.
Well, you said you did grenade throwing. Then.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
that wasn't too bad at all, really. But then you've got some of those that, once they pull the pin out, they panic, don't they? Well, I know we had one, Kent, his name was, he pulled the pin out and dropped it. And Sergeant Doughty, who was the training sergeant, he managed to, if my memory serves me right, that blew up just before it hit the ground. So I'm glad that was a deep trench, what you stood in, so you could get right down. Otherwise someone had had a sore ear hole with a base plate.
It didn't make you nervous, so the grenade?
No, because if you listened when you was in your training, first week's training, you only got to listen to what the instructors are telling you. You hold it, you can hold it all day.
If you hold the...
if you hold the pin in, take the pin out and hold the clip down, you could hold it all day. As long as you didn't forget yourself and take your hand off of it. But, throw, right, all you do is throw, make sure it's really away from you, then you get down.
Was it still, still using the round up, like bowling?
Yeah, that angle, yeah. Yeah, that wasn't a bad place. I mean, that learnt you that you know you're not going to be, you just don't take time off and say, well, I think I'll go and have a sleep now, do you? Not, if you're going into a theatre of war, you know you're going to be awake maybe 24 hours a day.
Anything else you did at Fingrelo during those...
No, it was, we used to try and find the parachutes at the next morning daybreak, but never did find any, so where they went I don't know. But it's virtually all, it was mainly night work, night firing and that type of thing, live round firing, where over here there was no ammunition at all, not even blanks, until we went to Horsford Rangers, obviously, but training-wise, Fingrelo was used for live rounds as well as blanks.
Was safety important?
That wasn't but humans you were firing at, that was, they'd got so far out, I think they had a ditch or a trench, and they moved along with, various objects.
Targets?
Target firing, yeah, mainly. Moving target. Oh, great. Well, that was Sergeant Derry. This bloke, Kent, again, whether he'd got it in for him or not, I don't know, but... he should have been firing blank, and he didn't. He put a live one in. Luck would have it, he missed him.
Now, anything else about your time at Blenheim, then?
No, it was a bit stiffer training there than it was up in Britannia Barracks. It was stiffer and that harder training. Because if you've done out wrong, you used to what they call pokey drill. And you used to get a session of that.
Did you ever get that?
Yeah, all of us, they're not just, they weren't picked out singly, the whole platoon had to do it in a circle.
So So what was it, punishment drills? Tell us about it.
Well, you get hold of the muzzle of the rifle and try and lift it up straight-handed. Like, you know, that depends ease up. You know, it's running around with a rifle above your head. Just because Corporal Haskey got it in for you. That's all. No one, I didn't think he'd done anything wrong, but if he'd got it in for you, if he had a bad day or whatever. it was tough, but well rewarding at the end of the day, I think.
You were still enjoying it overall.
I didn't mind. Obviously, you're going to get that. It does make you jarred off. Why have I done this? Why did I sign on? But at the end of the day, it was. You'd got to get it drummed into you, and you had to put up with it. You was there. You was nowhere. You was going to go. If you went on the trot, you only got caught. So.
Did you think it was good training, you know, that it was preparing you properly?
I thought so, yes, very much so. Very much, yeah. It was... Well, if you didn't take the notice of what they were trying to drum into you, then you paid the consequences at the end of the day. That's how I looked upon it. Afterwards, then you only got the sergeants to thank for.
Did you have any special pals in your group at the time?
No, I think we all mucked in together, you know. If one didn't want to go out, well, are you coming out? Yeah, I'll come down the road with you, you know. And that is how it went on. We used to be four or five of us go out at Bury St Edmunds. We only went in a calf and had a cup of tea down near the Abbey Gardens. And a cup of tea, and the time you'd walked all that distance down there and got all the way back again, you'd got to be here and there because you'd got to go past Gibraltar Barracks where the coppers were on duty all the while. And they hear you coming up the road, they were soon out the gate waiting for you, especially the Provo Corporal, Mr. Prentice. And so you'd got to keep this about you, otherwise. Time you got back to your own guard room in Blenheim Camp, there was somebody else waiting for you if you want.
So what happened next then? You were there till about May. 52.
Yeah, then we got a fortnight's leave. And had me leave, and then we went back to Bury again, waiting for a posting. They weren't sure whether we was going to Korea or Malaya. Transferred into the Suffolks, but
how did you feel about being posted to the Suffolks, or you know, or Korea, or Malaya? What did you think about?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't think it entered our heads, you know, because nobody had heard of Korea, and us being 18-year-old have hardly heard of Malaya either, so we didn't know what we was going to. You see, so I mean, it's oh, if we got to go in the Suffolks, none of us thought we were going through the Norfolks, into the Norfolks, out of the Royal Norfolks, you see. But then we had I think we was there. A week or fortnight. And then we had another fortnight, or a week was it, embarkation leave. I know we sailed from Liverpool on the 16th of June, 1952.
Now, what do you remember of... Were you kitted out with any special kit?
Yeah, we had... No, we just had a sea kit bag. That's right, a sleeping bag.
So what was the name of the ship you were on?
Went out on the Empire Pride.
And what were conditions like on your mess deck?
That was hammocks, for a start. And there's some bumps in
what
the night.
What did you think of hammocks?
Not a lot. I only put it up once. That was the first night. Because nobody told you how to put them up. That's what I said, there was a lot of bumps in the night where they were coming undone, boom. And your mess table was underneath you all the while. So that wasn't too good, not the hammocks. So, however, once we got out in the warmer waters, we went upstairs and laid on the decks. Just used them, never undone the hammock, just used them for pillars.
What about seasickness? Did you get any trouble?
No, touch wood. Touch wood. A lot of them did, but I must admit, I've never been to sea before, but I never even felt queasy. Never. I'm touching wood again, I'm glad of.
Was it
crowded? Some of them.
Was it crowded below decks? What was it like below decks?
Horrible. That was literally horrible. That was really crowded. See, it wasn't just us. There was the Manchester Regiment on there, plus other...
Drafts, or the whole regiment?
I think the whole Manchester Regiment was on there.
How many were there in your draft, I should have said?
In our draft? Oh. Yeah.
Roughly.
There's a photograph hanging up in the hallway. There's all of them on there.
You're not sure, though.
30, I suppose. 30, 40.
That's all right, yeah.
Something like that. I'll count them when we're finished.
So it was very close below deck, so.
Yeah, on that boat, yeah. It wasn't... we were glad that, you know, when you could go upstairs and lay or mooch about on the deck, top deck.
Was the food okay?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, because me and my mate, he was a fisherman, shrimper, from Galston, so obviously he wasn't seasick. And, well, we were eating all of them, because they didn't want it, because they weren't there to eat it. Yeah, we had a good feed all the way over.
And anything happened on the voyage, you know, what do you remember? Were you sleeping on deck when it got to be sunny?
That's why I wanted to go in the Navy. Yeah, it's quite pleasant. You just do your deck drill every morning.
What was that?
That was muster parade, you know, it's mostly a muster parade with your life jackets on, or explaining to you should anything happen at sea. And once that was over, the day was yours. There was no guards or nothing like that to do.
So what would you do?
Well, I would just sit up on the deck, playing cards for fags. You got them firstly for next to nothing. Mind you, there was more paper than there was tobacco in it. Time you finished, changing hands. Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Some days you won, some days you lost. Just sit down and...
But it was for cigarettes, not for money.
Oh, we never had the money. Not that much. You know, just to see you, get you through. But you used to play for... Because you used to get them in boxes of 50. Two fags on a ace. I hope the queen comes up.
What games would you play? What was a gambling game?
Well, I'm not a card player at all, so it had to be easy. Pontoon. That was about it. Yeah, pontoon for fags. One day you got a lot of full, the next day you were scrounging because you'd lost them all.
What else were you doing during the voyage? It took a while, I expect.
Well, we sailed, I think it was 5 or 5:30 on the 16th, and we got there round about lunchtime on the Hong Kong or Kowloon on the 16th of July.
So a month.
Yeah.
And as you were going through, how did you react when you got into the hot, the warmer bits, the tropics?
It was hot. Aidan, God, blimey, yeah. You didn't want to move hardly.
And you presumably never had anything like that?
No, never. Never been out of Whittlesford, as the saying is. No, it was an adventure, really.
Were you warned about things like heat strokes, sunburn?
Yeah, as long as you took your Paladrin tablet.
And what tablet?
Paladrin for malaria and salt tablets for replace the salt what you lose in your sweat. Yeah. Used to have them every morning. And, well, if you took them, that's the same as I have to take medication now. If you don't take it, then you don't expect to get better, do you? If you wanted anything like that, if you wanted to catch anything, then you threw the tablets overboard for the dolphins.
What about sunburn? Were you warned about that?
Yeah. But I don't know why it is, but I can sit out there in the sun and that will burn. But in them tropics, going over in the Mediterranean, that didn't. Whether it was because of the salt air or whether it was because you was up and down the stairs all the while, you know, and then ever got too hot, so you think, phew, I can't stick this. So you go somewhere in the shelter, go the other side of the ship, perhaps.
Now, what about your first impressions of Kowloon when you got there? What did you think of it when you pulled in?
Oh, crikey. Well, we was herded off the boat onto... did we go up the train? Yeah. Yeah, we went from Kowloon to Fanling on the train. Sure, it was the train. And then we was met by truck at Fanling Station. Then we was attached to the Middlesex Regiment.
That's 1st Battalion.
1st Battalion, the Middlesex, yeah.
And where were they?
They were in Fanling.
That's F-A-N...
F-A-N-L-I-N-G.
And how did they receive you? The whole draft, the whole 30, 40 of you?
Yeah.
And how did they take you in?
Oh, quite well, because we got driven to the camp and to where the huts were. And
is it of the new territories?
That's right, yes, yeah. And that was, you could smell the cookhouse, that did smell nice. And that happened to be curry. However, we didn't have much to do with the Middlesex Regiment, really. Very little.
Why?
We was up one end and they were doing their thing over the other side of the camp. They were going here, there and everywhere. They had got their duties to do and we had got ours. We used to go across the road through the Ulster Regiment camp up what they call Bird's Hill to the top, putting wire netting up.
Now tell me about that.
An ammunition guard.
What's ammunition guard?
Well, that was an ammunition post up on the top of this hill, Bird's Hill. Well, we used to guard that as well as putting wire netting around. I don't know whether we put it up and someone else come
up.
Whether we put it up and someone else come along and took it down behind us, I don't know. But it didn't seem to be getting very far.
And how did you actually put it up? I mean, was it dannet wire on a roll or what sort of wire was it?
It was on a roller, but you used to knock the post in with a monkey. And then the team come behind and wind it round and then we go a little further and knock another post in, and it was fairly warm up on top. That was at 1,200 feet high, I think. That got me, then you got to walk down it again. Mind you, there was a cookhouse up there, so we got our meals all right. Well, I say got our meals, we got a cup of tea because you used to start at 5, or roughly up at 5, and finish at 1. Because that was too hot, or midday, and that was too hot in the afternoons to do anything. So afternoons was virtually yours.
And it was just your draft was on this?
On the...
Or upon Bird Hill?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What about the guard duties? What about that? Was there anything to it, or was it just...
No. I mean, I done that. We got stuck up there for 3 weeks once because of a monsoon. And well, we're sitting about there in the boots and shorts, and that is it. There used to be a truck come up once a day, see how you're getting on, bring some rations up for the cook. There used to be a corporal in charge.
What about the food? You mentioned curry. I mean, that you can't have had curry in England, or perhaps
no,
you did.
I didn't like it. No way. I went to the naffy. After I'd sampled it, but it smelt so nice, you know, I thought, oh, blimey, this is different from boat food. But then as I say, it was curry. Oh.
Was it too hot for you?
Yeah, I'm not a spicy person, not like food-wise. So, as I say, but the other food...
Could you afford to go to the naffy all the time, though? You know,
generally, the other food, what you got in the cookhouse was... A-okay, you know, it wasn't too bad at all.
So curry was a rare, you know, it wasn't
I don't think we had it anymore, so whether all of us left it, I don't know. And he couldn't get rid of it. But I can't remember having curry again in there.
And what else were you doing while you were at family?
Well, that was about it. That was our job. But then...
You weren't doing any more weapons training?
Yeah, we went... this is what I was saying earlier on. That was when we went to fire the two three-inch mortars.
Tell us about that.
I forget what the name of the place is now, but that was that we used to... went out on the truck and onto the mortar range. And... everything was going all right until that was the last half a dozen was due to fire, and one of them got about 18 inches out of the barrel and it blew up, and one of our friends, name of Paul Tortoise, he got killed. He died of his wounds. He was virtually dead before he got him to Kowloon Hospital, but I was him wounded and I think five others injured with the blast. But that was a sad job, it was. You know, it was a gutter to see, travelled all that way. Everybody else got through except the last intake, or last section that got a fire, and he happened to be one of them. There you go. That was what it was all about, I suppose.
How did you do you remember how you worked the mortar? I mean, do you remember how it worked?
Yeah, number two drops it in. Number one, the firer is, got a trigger, I suppose you call it. But this one only got that far.
Were they easy to aim?
I didn't think that was too bad. Obviously, you got to get the velocity right, otherwise. It could drop at your toes or good miles above the away from what your target is. Once you'd got your there's only difference between that and a gun is that you don't look down the sights. You have to adjust it on a.
You adjust the height, an angle of the tube.
The velocity. Yeah. What do you call it? Not the velocity.